It's fun to be inquisitive. Be nosy. Stick to your passion. Find out more for yourself. Quest is fun. Join me, Tristan Pang, on a journey of inspiration. Welcome to Youth Voices.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to my show. This is your host, Tristan Pang, on Planet FM 104.6. Youth Voices, great to have your company here today. In today's show, I'm sharing with you an interview my mum did with the Tall Poppies magazine, the magazine of the New Zealand Association for Gifted Children. It talks about raising me, so here we go.
When did you first realise that Tristan was different to other children? What were the circumstances?
At first, I was quite oblivious. Other mothers started making remarks about Tristan when he was around 5 months old. They had noticed him easily inserting different shaped blocks into the corresponding slots and placing the nesting cups in the right order. Later, at his first birthday party, people were incredulous that he could count and recognize words. I had decided not to worry too much about Tristan's early developmental stages, as I knew that kids reach certain milestones at different times. I thought they were just being kind and assumed his extraordinary skills were due to his good memory, but I'll never forget when Tristan told me we were going in the wrong direction. We were driving somewhere he'd visited only once before. I didn't realize I missed a turn until Tristan started screaming and pointing. While I was obviously surprised that not yet 1 year old could remember the route so well, I wasn't aware of his highly developed visual spatial skills. Giftedness didn't come to my mind because Tristan's verbal skills didn't seem to match his other cognitive skills. I suspect this might have been due to his bilingual upbringing. By the time he was 2 years old and talking in sentences, I could peek a little more into his mind. He would create scenarios and explain how he would solve them with his algebraic method. He also had his own way of mentally calculating problems, which totally baffled me. He would read and comprehend a randomly selected book from the library. While I was trying out a new game called Think Fun Rush Hour, he snatched it and finished all 40 levels in one go. It was extraordinary. I then brought all available Think Fun Brain Cheeser and logic games such as River Crossing and Tip Over. Again, he solved all levels effortlessly. I was ashamed to admit that a 2 years old could beat me. At that point, I was convinced he was different. I did some research and realized he ticked all boxes of gifted child, except advanced speech. To be honest, I was more anxious than pleased, as I didn't know what to do to ensure Tristan had the intellectual development opportunities he needed.
Did you consult anyone, and if so, was this helpful?
When Tristan was two, we were still in the UK. The preschool teachers told me Tristan was gifted and recommended we get some professional advice. But I didn't know where to go, and it seemed too early to seek help from a gifted educator or a psychologist. I saw a local math centre, Kumin, that I thought might be helpful. Unfortunately, Tristan was rejected as too young. At two, he faced his first case of age discrimination, which has continued ever since. Come to think of it, however, Tristan's rejection prompted him to explore himself. And after all, speed calculation is not really a thing.
Was Tristan formally assessed, and if so, when and by whom?
We relocated to New Zealand when Tristan was four. People here didn't seem to speak about giftedness much, and no one here commented further on Tristan's abilities, while I naively thought that he might have slowed down to a normal developed pace. Towards the end of the school year, however, Tristan's Montessori preschool principal handed me the contact of a psychologist, adding, "I'm not so sure about these things." I didn't understand if she meant that the result would make no difference, or if she believed all or no kids are gifted. In any case, I think her comment revealed the misunderstanding about giftedness that exists, even among our educators. I was thrilled with the assessment outcome, cognitive ability scoring overall at the 99.99th percentile. Tristan being particularly exceptional at perceptual reasoning. I tried to share my excitement with a friend I was with. I could tell by a changed demeanor that she was unimpressed. Later, I told my neighbor, thinking she'd be happy for us, but her reaction was the same. From that point, the very first day Tristan was confirmed as gifted, I learned to keep it quiet.
Did this lead to changes in Tristan's lifestyle?
Well, I didn't tell Tristan as I didn't want him to see himself as different from his peers. Besides, he was too young to understand it, although it did lead to changes in my lifestyle. We say gifted children are lonely, but the parents of gifted children can be lonely too. It is rare to meet others facing similar challenges, and it's difficult to share what our children are doing when it's far out of the normal range of development. Many of us have been through this. Parents of gifted children want to avoid bragging and offending others, so we downplay our children's giftedness or offset their strengths by purposely mentioning their weaknesses. The psychologist suggested I contact organizations such as Mensa and the New Zealand Association for Gifted Children. I thought Tristan was too young for Mensa, so I called NZAGC. NZAGC was super helpful. A friendly lady, life member Rachel Pound, called me and patiently explained everything and even suggested some programs for Tristan. Tristan joined Small Poppies, where we met the amazing Sue Breen. He also went along to a few Auckland Explorer events while Annette Collin was the president. Although we were not very active in the NZAGC early on, this was a safe place for us.
How much input did you and your husband have in the very early stages of Tristan's learning? Was he left to his own devices, or did you guide him towards specific tasks?
The main thing we did was provide him with lots of books. The majority of them were STEM-related, science, technology, engineering and mathematics. When Tristan could sit up independently at 5 months old, I'd put the same sack of science and math books in his cot every night as part of his sleeping routine. He sat alone, immersed in the books. He wouldn't sleep until he flipped every single page, and they were never flipped on the wrong side. I thought he might just enjoy flipping the books, or the sound might lull him to sleep. This routine lasted quite a while. He started to be obsessed about these books. Some of the topics fascinated him. Maybe his thirst for knowledge, love of science and maths, reading skills and self-learning started there. I don't know, but the books seem to have been influential. Later on, when he started to seriously acquire knowledge, it was as though he had already downloaded the software. It was so natural to him. Books are hugely discounted in England, sometimes as much as 90%. I would come home with a big stack of fiction and non-fiction books for Tristan, with no particular expectations. I put them in his playroom and bedroom. Tristan later recalled that one of his earliest memories was of books being everywhere. Some nicked to his favourite Thomas the Tank Engine and Lego. He thought of books as just another toy. He would pick up a book and play. Later on, he came across the power of Year 1 to 13 science and math books, thus accidentally starting his academic journey. We never really had a chance to teach Tristan, as his STEM knowledge quickly surpassed our own. Early on, he was still eager to talk with us, but then stopped bothering because we could no longer follow.
Did Tristan show strengths in other areas, and how did you manage this?
Solving abstract and theoretical subjects is effortless to Tristan. At university, he took maths, stats, physics, computer science, philosophy, and aced them all. He'll be graduating this year with a near-perfect GPA. Tristan is quite a talented swimmer. During the three-year period between 5 and 8 years old, we were wandering around with no clear vision, as nothing really challenged or engaged Tristan. We thought about competitive swimming, which would require training twice a day, but then found the Cambridge International exams. Tristan also seems to be a good leader and shows great passion. He has always taken the opportunity to serve, from head boy at his school to class rep at university. He is currently the president of the University of Auckland Maths Club, and his next goal is to combine his talents and set up a university swimming club.
What about Tristan's experience at school?
Most people assume that having a gifted child is a gift in every way. We as parents know very well that the reality isn't like this. We have found it as frustrating to navigate the red tape surrounding the school system. Some gifted parents may relate to our story within the formal schooling system. The IQ test Tristan took at 4 was in preparation for schooling. It would help the teachers to understand Tristan's ability, so they can provide work for him at his level. The psychologist was prepared to attend any school meetings where special needs would be discussed. Things didn't go to plan. Our in-zone school didn't even bother viewing the test results, as they didn't have a gifted program. I applied to 6 out-of-zone schools, and Tristan was offered 5 places by ballot. I talked to each of them, but the answer was more or less the same. No gifted programs were on offer. 1 week before Term 1 started, one of the schools offered to advance Tristan to Year 2. I appreciated the effort and accepted it, and initially, Tristan seemed to adjust well. When the situation started to deteriorate, however, I had to act quickly. I'm heavily influenced by a 200-year-old book, The Education of Cal Whitty. I was, and still am, a big fan of homeschooling, and thought about withdrawing Tristan from school. However, Tristan is an only child, and in my view, it would have been hard for him to develop empathy and understanding without interacting with others. I then remembered Ficino School, which I visited and which seemed a particularly happy place. Ficino provides a philosophically inspired education that promotes excellence and strength of character, nurturing the inner dignity and individuality of each child. Students learn philosophy, mindfulness, literature, Sanskrit, and drama as early as year one. It was a perfect school for Tristan. He was at Ficino School for 8 years, and this was one of the best decisions we have made for him. Tristan started in year one, and I was promised that he would be challenged. Academically, I knew Tristan could learn on his own, and that it was unrealistic for a small school to provide a different curriculum just to meet his needs. Therefore, I would find a way for Tristan to excel, and just hope the school would support our academic decisions. At the end of year one, I inquired with NZQA about NCA exams. They responded that entries for these can only be made through accredited providers. High schools. Virginia school is not in high school, so couldn't help. I could tell from their tone that NZQA didn't want to believe in Tristan's mathematical abilities, while I was just another pushy mum. In year two, Virginia school appointed a new principal, Peter Crompton. Mr. Crompton recognized Tristan's academic talent and suggested he try the Cambridge curriculum. He also pointed out something very important to Tristan's exam success, that he write down all maths working. Tristan started to do maths before he can hold a pencil, so he was accustomed to working out problems in his head. The steepest learning curve for Tristan was having to state the obvious after finding the answer instantaneously. Although reluctant, he spent quite some time practicing how to describe his unorthodox thinking process step by step in mathematical terms. While Tristan was practicing his working skills, I was thrilled to discover that CIE accepted private candidates. Tristan's academic path became clearer. He took IGCSE, Year 11 Maths, when he was 9, and top scored A star with 97%. This success gave him a lot of confidence, and he kept self-studying for A levels in Maths, Physics, English and Geography, among others.
Was it hard to gain university entrance as an underage student?
Yes. For underage students, particularly for someone as young as Tristan, the university not only requires academic excellence, but also proven maturity and parental support. At 10, Tristan started to aim for the University of Auckland MACS program, the Mathematics Acceleration and Extension. This was targeted at highly achieving Year 13 students. Tristan had already reached that level when I contacted the coordinator, but she rejected me immediately, saying that Tristan was too young. She would only take him when he had achieved UE Maths with top grades. Tristan followed her instructions and scored the highest grade of A star the following year. Tristan was 12 when he started his first university maths paper. He aced that paper, at which point the department saw him differently, enrolling him in a Stage 2 second year paper immediately. It was a busy year for Tristan, as he had to juggle all three curriculums as a Year 8 student, as a CIE part-time candidate, and as a University of Auckland part-time student. Tristan decided to skip the whole of high school and aim to be a full-time university student the following year. His determination pushed him to work extra hard. By the end of the year, he had set the required CIE exams and fulfilled the requirements. However, the admission office kept adding new challenges towards gaining full admission. It is legally required that all children aged 6 to 16 in New Zealand attend school, and the university is not a school. As Tristan was not enrolled full-time, the university wasn't interested in negotiating with the Ministry of Education for us. To get around it, we had to get an exemption from school by applying for homeschooler status. Dealing with the MOE was a long and complicated process. I had to make a detailed home curriculum plan for the first year and beyond, just to satisfy the Ministry of Education. I needed to adjust the curriculum to make sure it sounded familiar to MOE officers, as they had no experience in dealing with the university curriculum. There was also interviews to attend. It was a daunting process, but thankfully, there are some very helpful and experienced home educators out there. Finally, the exemption was granted. We had home education status for a few months before Tristan was admitted full-time at the university, who then helped resolve the schooling problem with the Ministry of Education. After dealing with the MOE, our battle with the university resumed. We were in an awkward position and were frustrated by their repeatedly adding academic requirements. By the time Tristan was fully admitted, his rank score calculation for the university entrance was almost double the entrance requirement. By the end of the year, it was no longer only us battling with the university admission office. Tristan gained support from academics and even the head of the university. Team Tristan was huge and included the vice-chancellor, deputy vice-chancellor, maths and physics head of departments and lecturers, and the faculty dean. The admission office has no choice but to arrange an interview for us. This time, the admission office challenged Tristan's maturity, but Tristan came prepared. He explained his online teaching platform, public speaking, radio show, tutoring, mentoring, media interviews, community service, and a lot more. It was a lot more than a normal university student was doing. They said they'd only consider full admission after seeing one more of Tristan's CIE results. Luckily again, he attained a top grade and was finally admitted full-time at the age of 13. So that's it from me, Tristan Pang. Thanks for listening. I welcome your feedback and support of the program, so please email me at youthvoicesnz@gmail.com or visit my website www.questisfun.org.nz/youthvoices. That's QUEST-IS-FUN.org.nz/youthvoices. See you next month. Bye.
Join me again for another exciting program next month on the first Wednesday at 2:10 p.m. or listen anytime online at planetaudio.org.nz/youthvoices or listen to the archive on my website www.questisfun.org.nz/youthvoices. Youth Voices.